been there.
Let us continue a good singing as we turn to a hymn book, page number 44. And let us stand together if you're able to. And sing this song with all your might. Be thou exalted ever and ever, God of eternity, the ancients of days, wonderful majesty, majestic of thee, in your praise. Be thou exalted, the angels, be thou exalted, with harp and with strong, saints in their anthem, a rapture adore thee, thine be the glory forever, amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, the Father, co-equal in glory, all majesty's name. Be thou exalted by seraph and angels, be thou exalted, with harp and with song, saints in their anthem, our rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever, amen. Be thou exalted, O Spirit eternal, dwelling in the heart to keep us from sin. Be thou exalted by seraph and angel. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. Saints in their anthem, our rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Good singing. We may stand up for prayer. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in a prayer, please?
Our Father, our God, we do thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to meet here with those of like precious faith. We thank you for the rain, Lord. We look at it sometimes being bad, but we thank you for the rain, Lord.
Amen.
It brings the things that we need, causes the things to grow, cleans up the earth. We know that it is your will that we have rain. We thank you, Father, for each and every one here and those that may yet be on the way. We thank you, Father, for this is the day you have made, and the Bible says we shall rejoice and be glad therein. Pray for Brother Rice, Father, that you might continue to bless him and his family. For his best for Abigail, Lord, you might continue to heal the body.
Amen.
We know that you're in the healing business, Lord, and you can turn things around. We pray that that you would do just that, Lord, and we would have good reports today about her. We pray, Father, for each and every one here. We thank of Brother Roy, Lord, and we pray for him, and that you might continue to be with him and heal his body, Lord. We thank of Trish's husband, Lord. We pray for him.
Yes, Lord.
What he has to go through, and I believe Trish said this morning she has some symptoms that she has to get taken care of. We pray that for her, Lord, you might bless her and the whole family, Lord.
Amen.
Bless them. Continue to bless Justine, Lord, as she deals with the problems of life, Lord. We pray that you might totally heal her body, Lord. We thank you for her. We just thank you for all that are here, Lord, and continue to bless and have your way. We thank you for our nation, for our leaders and authority. We thank you, Father, because of those leaders. We can meet like this and not have to fear the authority, Lord. We thank you for the country that we live in, that we live in a country of freedom, Lord.
Amen.
You are spirit and truth. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to bless and have your own way there. Bless each and every one today, Father.
Amen. You may be seated. And let's continue a good singing as we turn back to our hymn books, page number 815. Together, Jesus is coming to us again. What if it was today? Coming in fire and rain. What if it was today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified. What if it was today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, crown him now, crown him king. Jesus may come. Satan dominion will then be all. Who that God cross today? Sorrow, strife shall be no more. Oh, that it was today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, brought up to meet him in the sky. Then shall the sun meet the eyes. What if it was today? Glory, glory, for you the heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. And prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus with us today. Faithful and true would he find us here if he shall come today. Watching and glad, blessed now in prayer, if he shall come today. Signs of his coming multiply, morning bright day in the eastern sky. It's drawing nigh. What if it was today? Glory, glory, to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, hasten to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus may come today. Amen. And that is very truly a song that we just sang there a moment ago, that Jesus promised to come back again.
Amen.
But we do not know what day, what month, what week, or what hour he will come. But he will come as he said he will. Ready or not, he is coming. And I hope each one here in this building this day will be ready when he comes. You cannot get ready when he comes. It will happen too fast. The Bible tells us in the wink of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and those who have died will be caught up to meet him in the air, in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So to try to wait until he's coming is too late at that moment. We will pause at this time now to have a hymn history song read, and then we will have the announcements afterwards.
In the book Hymn History by Alfred Smith, he writes about a hymn called Lord, I'm Coming Home. Professor William J. Kirkpatrick was leading the music for a camp meeting in one of the country's areas around Philadelphia. Mr. Kirkpatrick had been writing gospel music for some years before this incident happened in 1902. His life was one dedicated to serving the Lord, and with this had come a spiritual sensitivity and discernment. At this camp meeting, God had given him reason to question the salvation and sincerity of the special soloist who had been chosen to help him in the meeting. The soloist would never stay to listen to the messages after he had sung his solo, nor was he present for the times of Christian fellowship, which played such an important part in the early camp meetings. With the situation as it was, Mr. Kirkpatrick began to pray for this singer. 2 days had gone by, and although the messages of the evangelists and the preachers were bringing many to make a decision for Jesus Christ, they failed to move this singer. As Mr. Kirkpatrick continued to pray, he questioned, "Will God ever hear my prayers?" In later years, Mr. Kirkpatrick would say, "I became very burdened for this singer, and the Lord led me to use quite an unusual plan. He told me to write a special song of invitation, just with this singer in mind, and then I was to have him sing it. This I did, and the very evening that he sang it, God so spoke to his heart that he did not go out after singing, but stayed to hear the message. Praise God, this singer was the first to the altar, letting Christ come into his heart. My new song had been the Lord's means of answering my prayer, and he titled it, Lord, I'm Coming Home."
Amen. That's a wonderful report of this hymn history. Tell them about the hymns that were written. But not just written by coincidence, but God has led them, have given them in the hearts of those singers who have written them. At this time, we will be taking a moment to have the announcements by our fellow deacon, John Watkin, and we'll get back to our singing afterwards.
Alright, I hope everybody has a bulletin. If not, please raise your hand and we'll have our ushers come and bring you a bulletin. Evan, I see we need a couple on the on my right side, which would be your left. Okay, we look in our bulletins. We'll start with on the first inside, well, the second inside page there, we see that we had the Quad State Sunday School Conference yesterday, which I understand went real well. We had an incident on the way up, which we will discuss as well in a moment. We have baptisms coming up on September 23rd. You know, we want to keep in prayer for those that will be getting baptized. Hopefully we'll see many others want to follow suit. On the back of our bulletin, we have the overnight teen jamboree coming up later this month. You know, if any teens wish to go, I believe there's information still on the table in the back, so you can sign up for that. It's $25 per person, and it's grade 6 through 12 and young adults up to 25. Okay, we also have, we want to welcome our newest member, Dominique. You know, thank you. Welcome to the congregation. We're so glad to have you as a new member. I hope everybody gave you a warm welcome last week. You know, sir.
Yes, did.
Yes. So the one incident that happened on the way up to the Sunday School conference, I understand they had to pull over to the side of the road and let Pastor Rice out, and I think Esther came and picked him up. No.
It was Carrie actually came.
Carrie came and picked him up. The problem with one of the kids, Abigail was it? Yes, Abigail, and all that. Carol Gibson has the latest update on what's happening there. Could you give that to us, Carol?
Okay, when we were in the Point Pleasant area is when Pastor got a call directly from the doctor. And the doctor said, you need to take Abigail to St. Christopher's Hospital today. And he said that he was out of town, and he asked what the problem was. And the problem was that her blood count was not good. So he said, we'll put this way till Monday, and the doctor said absolutely no, that she has to go today. So we made a few phone calls and made a few arrangements and had a couple options lined up, but it turned out probably for the best that Lydia was with us, and Carrie was able to load the rest of the kids in the car and go pick up Pastor in Point Pleasant and then go directly to Philadelphia. Where they've been doing a lot of testing, Abigail's very pale. Other than that, she doesn't show signs. I just talked to Pastor right before the service started. She does not show signs of sickness. She doesn't look sick. except for the fact that she's very pale. She has no fever. Her white cells are fine. It's her red cells that are not. They have several things that they're considering, but they're waiting now for the rest of the test results. They've had several doctors looking at her, and there's several opinions floating around, which I know about very well. Most of all, they need our prayers. Fortunately, the word has traveled fast, and a lot of the sister churches have contacted them and are praying for them. I personally talked yesterday at the conference to the Siebels. They send their greetings to all of us and are praying for the situation, as is Joe Kaiser. Without taking any more time, prayer is what they need. They're praying for us. They're sorry, of course, they can't be here. And hopefully we'll have some good news very soon.
Yes, thank you, Carol. We definitely want to keep our pastor in prayer and his family. I know what it's like to have a child sick and not know what the problem is and go on for years wondering what's happening. So I know what they're going through. I have rare conditions myself that took years to figure out, so I'm quite familiar with the process. And it's not fun. So keep them in prayer. We want to recognize our guest this morning. I see that in the back corner here. I don't know your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Bart.
Bart? Welcome, Bart. This is your first time here?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're glad you're here. How did you find us, by the way?
Well, I passed here on my way to work, and I've always worked. I've been working weekends for a very long time, and I finally got a different shift. I was able to go back and change it now. So I'm going to try and give this church a try. I'm from a Southern Baptist background, so I'm a little more interested in churches, not Baptist churches.
Amen. Well, we hope that you'll pick us, take it to prayer with the Lord for if that's this is where he wants you to be. Yep. All right. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I'll just so everybody knows, Pastor Rice will not be here this morning. Pastor Logan will be giving the message this morning for us, and when it's time for that. I think, do we have another song now?
No,
offering. Can our ushers will come forward? We'll take our offering now. Evan, will you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you provided. First of all, the money that Steve and help. Thank you that Bart's here. I pray he would like our church, dear Lord. Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go back to our hymn book, 542. 542 in our hymn book. And that's the song for
from hymn history,
542. All right, let's stand together, like Miss Carol said, and we sing better when we stand together, right, Miss Carol?
Yes, sir.
All right, if we sing, we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Give him glory to his holy name. Page 542 first, and last verses, seeing that our time is somewhat run behind on our time. Some. All right, 542. I wander far away from God, now coming home. The path of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Evermore. Coming home. Lesson number two. A wise and many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm not repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Open wide the arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Good singing. You may be seated. We take a moment out for a Bible reading at this time before the message comes. So Brother John is again going to read for us the scripture lesson for today.
Yes, I'll be Psalm 50. We could open up our Bibles and turn to Psalm 50. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the pew in front of you.
And we will be reading this responsively. I'll start out. You'll read the next verse and back and forth like that until we get to the end, which we'll all read together. So Psalm 50, I'll give you a few more seconds. If we could stand for the reading of God's Word. We want to show proper reference to the Word of God. Okay, a psalm of Asaph. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous round about him.
He shall crawl to the heavens from above, and the earth that made him.
Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God.
I will not reprove thee
by sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the hills.
I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats?
Offer unto God thanksgiving.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
But unto the wicked shall I say, What hast thou to do to declare thy statutes? For thou hast forsaken the covenant in thy mouth.
Seeing thou hated instruction, and castest my words behind thee.
When thou seest thee,
and partaker with adultery. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit.
Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy mother's son.
These things hast thou done, and I kept silence, though thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes.
Now consider this, ye have forget God, lest thy faith be pieces, and there be none to deliver.
Together, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen, and you may be seated. We thank God that we have with us Pastor Logan. We'll be speaking for in the place of Pastor Rice today, and we really appreciate having him with us. Pastor Logan is no stranger to this church, so we are very happy to have him with us. Pastor Logan, may God bless you as you give us the message from God.
Thank you. I want to say good morning to everybody. Certainly we're happy to be here this morning. Thank God for this. And we shall rejoice in it. Amen. I don't know how many of you know today, but today is Grandparents' Day. So happy grandparents. This is National Grandparents' Day. So all of you that have grandparents, remember them today. I just became a great-grandparent. Time goes, doesn't it? Amen. Certainly we wish first to pray for Pastor Rice and for Abigail, what they're going through. Brother Johnson, he knows what it is to have your child going through something. I know what it is because I lost my daughter some years ago. Well, I didn't lose her. We often use that word when we talk about someone that has passed on, but I'm reminded of this pastor when his wife had passed, and one of his dear members, was not able to get to the funeral. And so she said to him, when she saw him in town at the marketplace, she says, "Pastor, I'm so sorry you lost your wife." And he looked at her kind of curious and said, I didn't lose her. I know where she is." So I didn't lose my daughter. I know where she is. Amen.
Amen.
So we're praying that, and we're going to pray first for Pastor and for Abigail, that all will go well there. Amen. Amen. I think Sister Gibson said, we're waiting for good news. Amen.
Amen.
And we believe that God is going to bring good news.
Yes.
Father, we do thank you this morning for this time to share with these of like precious faith. Thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for being able to be here. We thank you for a nation like this, where we can meet like this each and every Sunday, each Wednesday and Sunday night, Lord. We just thank you for that. Now, Father, we do pray for the message this morning, that you might have your own way and that the message may meet the needs of each one of us here, including the speaker this morning, Lord. We pray, Father, for Pastor Rice, and that you might continue to bless him and his family, Lord. I pray especially for little Abigail, Lord, that you might guide the doctors and nurses and all of those that are in attendance there, Lord, that they may find out the problem, that through prayer and through the doctors, Lord, a remedy may be found. We're going to believe that you're going to take care of that, and we're going to count it even as it's already done in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Williams,
yes. They were not dismissed. You want to dismiss them now?
Unless you want them in here, yes.
I don't know what to do. Your brother, Hodge, what do you think?
I am. If you want, again, whatever you want. We'll stay if you want to.
All right, we'll stay then. Amen. Thank you. I want to deal with a message this morning that I use at the adult daycare center some weeks ago. I think, it was last week. We talked about biblical wisdom. And I know all of us are seeking wisdom, and the Bible lets us know wisdom is the principal thing, therefore we'll get wisdom. So as we grow in grace, we want to grow in wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Several scriptures I want to read to you. First of all, I want to read from the Book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5, because that has some bearing on the message this morning. Ezekiel 28 chapter, verses 1 to 5, we find these words. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, this is Ezekiel speaking now. I see some pages still turning, so I'll wait until you get there. That's Ezekiel, 28 chapter of Ezekiel, first 5 verses of the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. All right, we have it? Okay. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. By thy great wisdom, and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. This suggests to us that wisdom, all wisdom, is not good wisdom. Amen? We'll get into that a little later. Now, in the book of Genesis, if you turn there, the book of Genesis, the second chapter of Genesis, and with verse 8 and verse 9, the second chapter of Genesis. Second chapter of Genesis, verse 8 and verse 9. Second chapter of Genesis, verse 8 and verse 9. And we all know that is the first book in the Bible. So we shouldn't have a problem finding that. Amen? Amen. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now let's jump down to verse chapter 3. Chapter 3 and the first 7 verses there. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, but God does know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. The wisdom, biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom. There are two types of wisdom. There is the wisdom of the world, earthly wisdom, and there is the wisdom of God, heavenly wisdom. From these scriptures, we know that Satan is a person of wisdom. And that Ezekiel 28 and verse 1 to 5, we find that wisdom is given to Satan. Not only wisdom, but in the fifth verse, it says, by thy great wisdom. And so Satan not only has wisdom, but he has great wisdom. Now, wisdom in Proverbs 4 and 7, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, wisdom is what we all seek for. We grow in wisdom. We know that we are on a journey here. We're on a journey, and we travel through this journey. We hope to get wisdom, to grow knowledgeable about the world, knowledge about how to apply things in our lives, that we can become better servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would anybody say amen to that? That's what we want to be, right? So how does this wisdom come? According to the dictionary, the word wisdom means understanding of what is true, right, or lasting, common sense, good judgment, scholarly learning, knowledge. All of these are definitions for what wisdom is. But you know, there is a wisdom that comes from God, that all of this that the dictionary describes include. Wisdom is the ability to know right from wrong, and to choose right all the time. How many know that just because something is right, it may not be right for you? The wisdom is the ability. Sometimes people think that, well, wisdom is, let's bring in freedom for an example. Sometimes people think that freedom is the ability to do what you want in the time you want. How many of you know that that's not correct? Wisdom is the ability to choose right all the time.
Amen.
Amen. And not only right, but the ability to choose what is correct for you. What's right for Joe Jack Sue Alice may not be right for me, may not be right for you. So wisdom is that ability to choose these things. And that wisdom only comes from God, because he's the one that gives us wisdom. Amen? We want the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. As we look at this word wisdom, we somehow wrestle with some of the scriptures in the Bible. One is that in James, I believe it is, let me make sure, in the book of James, the 3rd chapter, and the 17th verse, it says this: but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom from God. But there's also a wisdom of the world. Now, I think that all of us this morning, especially if we've been born again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we want that wisdom that comes from where? Above. We don't want the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of the world is a wisdom that will cause you to die. You can die in that kind of wisdom. We look at people in this world that are multimillionaires, billionaires, and I don't know about you, but every once in a while it goes through my mind, boy, I'd like to have some of that money. I wonder sometimes what it is. What is it that, what does it feel like to never have to worry about a bill? To know that when the bill comes due, it's going to be paid because I'm a multimillionaire. I don't know that, but am I the only one to feel that way sometimes? That you would, that when the bills come, you don't have to worry about them being paid because you've got umpteen amount of money in the bank. A few weeks ago, a famous lady died. Anybody know her name? Yes. Huh? No? Aretha Franklin. You know how much money she had left when she died, according to the paper? $80 million. That's a small amount to compare to some people. But when we think about life, and we think about the problems of life, and what we go through in life, and, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Amen?
Amen.
I get angry sometimes when I look and see what some people have to go through just to get by, just to buy groceries, just to put food on the table, having to choose sometime between whether to buy food or to pay the rent. We shouldn't have that in America, but it does exist. I can take you to, I think the gentleman in the back, he's Southern Baptist, I guess he's from one southern state. I was born in the state of Virginia, and today I can take you back to states in the Appalachian parts of West Virginia, well, there are still people that do not have electricity in America. In America, this shouldn't happen in our country. Not with the billions of people, the billionaires in our country. I believe in the last census that I saw, that every three minutes, somebody's made a millionaire in America. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible tells us, not that the money is evil, but the root of the love of money. But there's nothing wrong with having money. How many of you know that when you go to the grocery store, you can't say, Brother Hodges can't say, well, I'm a member of Northfield Baptist Church, and I'm a born-again believer, so I don't have to pay for this grocery. What do you think that clerk is going to say? You are crazy. That's what Sister Williams tells me many times. I'm crazy. Well, I'm joking with her as we ride on the bus. So he would say, you are crazy. Just because we are Christian doesn't allow us to get by with what the world has to go through. Amen? We have to pay our bills. The wisdom of this world does not lend itself to us as born-again believers. We're Christian. We don't have to pay the bills. We still have to pay the bills. Amen?
Right.
Now, let's look at this situation that happened to Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. And God says, you have this garden before you, all of these trees, and I often wonder, why didn't they pick the tree of life? That was that too. Most time we forget about it. There were two trees in the garden. But they were never told not to take of the tree of life. Wonder why they didn't take of it. Well, that's another sermon. But anyway, when we look at this situation, here is Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, now you can have anything in the garden. Man, this is a utopia. They don't have to worry about insurance. They don't have to worry about growing old. They don't have to worry about any of the things that affect you and me in this world today. They had none of those worries. Eve didn't even have to worry about Adam cheating on her because nobody else would cheat to her. Amen? There's nobody else. So she didn't have to worry about that worry. Here they are in the Garden of Eden, a complete utopia, freedom. And there's one prohibition. God gave them one. With all the other things that they could choose. And let me use my imagination for a minute. This is not scripture, but I'm just going to use my imagination. I can see Adam and Eve walking by that tree every day and look at it. Yeah, God said, don't touch that. Okay. They get up in the morning, they eat their breakfast, then they go over and take a look at that tree. I guess I can't touch that tree. Now, the tree itself was not evil, right? Tree was not evil. I mean, they didn't walk by that tree and say, look at that evil tree. Every day, look at that evil. No, the tree was not evil. The only thing that was evil was them were disobeying to God and finally partaking of that tree. But what happened? What happened? The Bible doesn't say how long it took, but at some, in the process of time, they walked by that tree, and who's there? Oh, Satan. And he looks around and says, mighty good tree there, Eve. I'm using my imagination now. Yeah, but God told us not to take of that tree. It's still good knowledge. Not God doesn't. Come on, Eve. God didn't really mean that. You can partake of that tree. And I don't know how Eve, you know, most of us, when we say something is good, we've tasted, we've had some, right? But she said the tree was good for food. I don't know how did she realize that? She hadn't eaten of the tree. That's sometimes how we imagine things, don't we? We imagine things, that something is good, and we don't know whether it's good for us or not. We've never tried it, but we've made up in our mind, oh, that's good, I got to have it. How many times did you turn your TV on, and you see on that some commercial, and they're always trying to sell you something, and you say to yourself, I got to have that. I got to have that. Well, how do you know you got to have it? You don't even need it. Well, but everybody else has got it. How many of you parents, and some of us, I've grown out of that now while our children are grown. How many of you heard the children came home from school? Mama, I got to have those Snickers. Why? You never had those type of Snickers. But they're good. How do you know they're good? Everybody else is wearing them. Well, not everybody else. You're not wearing them. So we sometimes assume something is good for us with never having tasted, never having owned it, but we make up in our mind, and this is Satan speaking through us, through our mind, saying, that's good for you. You ought to have it. Certainly one bite is not going to have to hurt you. How many people in New Jersey started off saying, I am going to be a drunkard? Nobody. How many people in New Jersey, or in the world for that matter, started off saying, I'm going to be a drug addict? No. But you know what happened? Satan came to them, and he spoke to them in a manner like this. One drink is not going to hurt you. And many people bought into that. One cigarette is not going to hurt you. And many people bought into that. One hit on this marijuana or drug is not going to hurt you. And what do we have? We have a nation of today, men and women and young people too, who are hooked on cigarettes, hooked on drugs, hooked on alcohol because they listened to Satan and Satan told them, one drink, not going to hurt you. What about the wisdom of God? What about the wisdom of God? Now, I personally do not believe that wine is evil. I don't think it's evil. I don't think it was in the Bible. It was drinking by those that were in the Bible. But I don't drink wine because I don't know. I may become addicted to it. I don't know. We don't know what our propensity is or something that is too late. You say, well, I can stop drinking. I can stop doing this. Why don't you do it? because it gets a grass on you. Satan is looking, and he wants to give you the wisdom that comes from the world, and we buy into it because we are of this world. Even though we've been saved, there's still a fight going on. You know that? God was saying one day, I think it was an Indian. He went to the doctor, and two stories mixed up. This guy got saved. This missionary went to this camp, was anywhere, and he was able to get this guy saved. And some days later, or weeks later, this missionary saw this guy, and he said, "How you making it?" He said, "It's like cats fighting, trying to serve the Lord." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I try to do good, and now evil, I see all around me." And so the missionary said, "Well, who's winning the battle?" He said, "Like two dogs fighting." "Who's winning the battle?" He said, "Like two dogs, the good dog and the bad dog, and fighting on the inside, trying to control me." He said, "Well, who's winning the battle?" He said, "The one I feed the most." Isn't that true in life? If we feed the devil, he's going to win the battle. If we feed off God's word, God's going to win the battle. And that battle goes on in our life from the time that we accept Christ until we die. You might say, "Well, what about the temptation to God? If the tree was not evil, why did God place it there?" What we've got to remember that in life, God knows that the only way we are going to become wise, the only way that we'll become better Christians today than we are today, than we were yesterday, the only way we'll become better Christians tomorrow than we are today is through trials, tribulation, temptation, frustration. All of these play a part in molding us to be what God wants us to be. And so when God placed that tree in the Garden of Eden, and he told Adam and Eve not to partake of it, it wasn't that because God wanted to keep something good from us. God doesn't want to keep anything good from us. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to live here on this earth and enjoy life and do his will. But God put it there to bring us to wisdom that only comes from him, because he knows that the only way we're going to grow in this life is through experiencing and then overcoming the temptation. We often look at temptation as a bad word. Do you know that temptation was not originally considered a bad word? A missionary would walk by a piece of open ground, for example, and he would say to himself, "Oh, I wish that somebody was tempted to build a church there." Temptation is not a bad word. There are things that we are tempted to that ought to be good. There are things that we're tempted to that we ought not to do. But the only way that we know the difference, really, is by trusting Christ. He gives us that wisdom to help us to grow, that we can be better today than we were yesterday. Every one of us in here, especially those of us that are born again, don't you want to live a better life today than you did yesterday? Don't you want to be a better Christian tomorrow than you are today? We often improve. Like I said, we're on a journey. And this journey takes us through life, through frustration, through temptation, through overcoming things, in order that we can be a better person tomorrow. But you know what? We never reach that goal. There's one goal in life that none of us reach. You know what that goal is? That goal is perfection. You know, oftentimes we hear people say, practice make perfect. How many of you know that's not correct? Amen. I played football. I practiced a whole lot in high school. I never got perfect at the game. Some of you played sports, but you never got perfect at it. You can go out and practice. I played instruments in high school. 4 years I played instruments. I played the trumpet, I played the sousaphone, I played the saxophone, and I played the other instruments. And you know what? I used to practice a lot. I thought I practiced a lot until I got to Temple University, and I was looking at the kids in the music room there, and I'd go in and practice the piano. I saw kids in that piano room after school, 3, 4, 5 hours practicing. I said, "I'll never be good. I didn't have that kind of, you know, a stickability, for lack of or another word to say, to practice that much. But you know what? That's why I'm not good as they are today, because they practice. But you know what? In all of that practice they did, they never got perfect. Practice do not make perfect. Practice make you what? Better. Makes you better. It never makes you perfect. In this life, as born-again believers, the day we become saved, we begin that journey toward perfection. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father is in heaven. That's scripture. And we begin that journey every day of our lives. When we get up in the morning, we ought to be saying to ourselves, Lord, you and I can do some great things today. You know what we ought to be? We ought to be like this elephant walking across this rope bridge. Anybody know, seen a rope bridge? If you ever get a chance, go out to Colorado. They got a tall, I think, rope building out there. And you can drive across it and you can walk. It shakes as you go across this rope bridge. I walked across it with some great fear and trepidation. But I walked across that bridge. But this elephant, this big elephant, was walking across this bridge. And this rope bridge, was just swinging to and fro. And there was a little fly on the back of this elephant. And when it got to the other side, the fly looked down and said to the elephant, big boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? That's what we ought to say. When we get to the end of the day, of our each day that we live, we can look up to God and say, Lord, we gave the devil today, didn't we? That's what God wants us to be. Every morning we get up. Lord, we can handle this day. Together, you and I, we can do it. And yet, all of the time, we realize that it's Christ working in us, doing the work. We're just allowing him to work through us. That's what God wants us to be. That's what he wants us to be. As we look at this story of Adam and Eve again, they gave in to the temptation. Now, sometime when we give in to temptation, we think, well, God can't use me now. I've done this, I've done that. I guess God can't use me. But God doesn't say that, does he? God says if we confess our sin, the word Greek word confess, homologeo, which means to agree with God. God said, you're a liar. Lord, you know I'm a liar. God said, you're a thief. God knows you're a thief. God knew you're going to be a thief even before you came into the world. So the Bible says that we confess our sin, homologeo, to agree with God about it. He is faithful and just, which means he'll do it every time. To forgive our sin and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. How many of you can remember back? I know some of the young people can. When you were in school, I can, and I'm probably one of the oldest people in here. When you went to school and you learned to write your name, or maybe you learned before you got there, but you learned to write your name, and the teacher would give you a sheet of paper, clean sheet. A few minutes, he'd come back, and you'd messed up the whole thing. I mean, it was all done. So what did the teacher say? You dummy, you'll never amount to nothing. That's not what she said. She'd give you a clean sheet of paper and say, okay, now, Johnny, start over again. Wasn't that a great feeling? She'd give you a clean sheet of paper and say, now, Johnny, now, Sally, start over again. That's what God does. That's the wisdom of God. When we have gone wrong, when we have made a mistake, we ought to run to God. But many of us, when we made a mistake, we run the other way. We don't have anything to do with God. We don't want to come to church anymore. And sometimes it's because, as born-again believers, we begin to look down on those people. They don't have the wisdom that we have. They don't have the stick-to-ability that we have. But that was a time when you weren't like that. When you first got saved, let's take Brother Roy isn't here today. I wish he was. But when Brother Roy went into the Brother Roy Gibson, he's a member of the church. He served in World War II, for those that don't know him. When he first went into the armed service, he wasn't the best soldier there. And nowhere near was he the best. But he had to go through boot camp. And then the actual fighting in World War II, and he got better and better. But he was not that way when he first became a soldier. Some of you, I think, forget your name. Dominique? Yes. She's becoming a member of the church, right? But as a young Christian, nobody expects her to live as good as Brother Hodges. No way. Brother Hodges has been a Christian for how many years?
45.
How many?
45.
45 years. Now, how can she expect to be a good Christian, Brother Hodges, when he's done it for 45 years? What am I saying? Wisdom. Knowledge. Wisdom is not just knowledge, you know. I mean, I fly airplanes. I used to fly airplanes for a living, okay? But I once saw a picture of a motion picture with wonderful men in a flying machine. And this German guy, he got into this airplane. He just took a book how to fly a plane. He's going down the runway, and this thing going all over the runway. Finally gets the thing into the air, and he's reading a book while he's flying how to fly an airplane. That's not the way to do it. He had the knowledge, but he could have got himself killed. That's not the way to do it. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not only knowledge, but it's knowledge coupled with experience that leads to wisdom. Brother Hodges has knowledge, he has wisdom, and he ought not commit the sin that Dominic may commit because he has the knowledge and wisdom. But he can look back to the day when he wasn't there, amen? That he wasn't there. Biblical wisdom, that's what we're talking about. Biblical wisdom. Adam and Eve did not exert the biblical wisdom that they should have exerted there in the Garden of Eden. But God didn't just say, okay, you're done with it. You had your chance, buddy. I'm going to do something else. He put them out of God. He did do that. But he let them know that they were to grow in wisdom. Even in the book of Luke, 2nd chapter 40 verse, the Bible says, talking about Christ, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Even Christ as a man, the Bible says, had to grow in wisdom. You and I have to grow in wisdom. We have to grow in knowledge. How did that knowledge come? Well, one way is by reading the Word of God, amen? And one way is going through temptation, going through trials. There's nothing wrong with temptation, there's nothing wrong with trials. That's not a sin. But the Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted even as we are in all manners. But he yielded not to the temptation. He yielded not to the temptation. As we grow, as we learn, as we're exposed to experience, we become better Christians. I've been a Christian for many years, 50 years at least, 60 years at least. And I hope I'm a better Christian today when I first got started. I think you're probably saying, I hope so too. Because we grow in wisdom. And this growth only comes through trials, temptation, frustration. All of these things help us to grow. Right. What I want to leave with you this morning, more than anything else, as born-again believers, you're on a journey. You are on a journey. That journey started the day you were born, but the real journey starts the day you're born again as believers in Christ. You're going to go through some things, and God is going to allow you to go through some things. And some of these things you go through, you can say, where is God? I think he forgot me. Hey, Lord, I'm over here. Here I am. And we pray sometimes, we seem like we don't get any answer. But God knows that if he came to every rescue, every time you call him, you would never develop into the Christian you were, that you should be. We come to church, and that's a good thing. We get excited about the message, hopefully. We have a religious experience, and that's good. But you know what? Unless something happens between these two ears, unless something happens in this head of ours, unless some wisdom come from the message, we're going to be at most a defeated Christian. Not able to deal with the world, not able to deal with the devil, not able to deal with those around us because we didn't obtain the wisdom that should have come from just sitting there and listening. And then going out and experience. I was reading a book one day of this person. They were in the hospital, and the pastor came to visit them, this lady. And pastor said, well, I'm going to pray that you be healed of this. She said, no, don't do that. Don't pray that I'll be healed of it until I find out the lesson that God is trying to teach me. Wasn't that a great response? Sometimes we want to be healed of whatever we're going through without learning a lesson. Then we lose both times. We lose because we suffer, and we lose because we never learn a lesson. God allows things to happen in your life and my life for the purpose of growing us. When we go through troubles, when we go through tribulation, frustrated because of our neighbor, sometimes our own relative, but the Bible says a man's enemy shall be what? There of his own household. But when we grow through these things, we also add, we pray, Lord, teach me what you want me to learn. I want the wisdom of God, and it can only come through what I'm going through. Amen. What a better church it would be if all of us would pray that prayer. Lord, teach me in this situation. Teach me in this pain that I'm going through, this suffering that I'm going through. None of us want to suffer. None of us want to go through trials. None of us. We would that it would be a clear day every day. We don't want rain to fall into our lives. But let's be honest. It's going to happen. Paul says, I joy in tribulation. I don't know that I've got quite there yet. I'm working on it. Joy in tribulation? I don't know, Paul. I know what you mean, but that's something I'm still working on. When I get pain, I want the Lord to take it away. When I go through trials, Lord, I want you to remove it. But Paul says, I joy in tribulation. And Paul went through a lot. You're the man that was put in prison, shackled between two guards. You're the man that was shipwrecked, and he, even in his own brethren, he found that they were against him. Whole world was against him. Have you been there sometime? Look like the whole world is against me. You know? Sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, have you forgotten me? You have, Lord, you know. We're like, what was the prophet that said that? Nehemiah, I believe it was, when he was told that he had only a short time to live. And he reminded God of what he had done for him. God asked 15 more years to his life. Was it Nehemiah? God added 15 more years to his life. Because he reminded God of what he had gone through. And God doesn't mind us reminding us, him, of his promises to us. It's all right to say, Lord, you promised this. Now, not that the Lord needs to be reminded, but it's for our benefit. Amen?
Amen.
The wisdom of God comes through what? What did I say it comes through? Trials? Frustration? Tribulation, all of these things through the temptation, all of these things come to try us that we may be a better Christian. And you know, I think when we get to heaven, we look back on those days. And I think God is going to allow us to do that. Look back on these days and thank God that I went through that. Thank God that he gave me the strength to do it. Now, I think that should be part of our prayer. Not that God keep me from all this, keep me from all that. Lord, allow me to go through some of these things that I may be a better Christian, that I may be a better servant, because our whole duty to God is to glorify him. The only purpose that we're here, the only purpose, is not to live a long life, it's not to enjoy all these things down, it's not to end of this, but our only purpose here is to bring glory to his name. That's why he made us.
Amen.
That's why he created us. So that we could bring glory to his kingdom. There used to be an old K Catechism, really in the Catholic Church, they stated it this way: the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. How many can agree with that? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what our life is all about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to extend the invitation. There may be one this morning, though they have been a part of the church, they've never yet made a true confession themselves. Though your family may be saved, your mom or dad may be saved, salvation has to be an individual thing. When sometimes people ask me, will I be any Catholics in heaven? Will I be any Jehovah's Witness in heaven? Will I be any Baptist in heaven? I have to say to them, God doesn't save by denomination. Mm-hmm. He saved by individual.
Amen.
It's the individual decision that you make that will guarantee you place in heaven. I'm wondering this morning as we close this service, is there anyone here that never made a true confession to Christ? Never made a confession to know Him as Savior, Lord, and Master in your life? Because that's really where it is, folks. 10,000 years from now, it won't matter that you didn't run with the higher echelon of life. It won't matter that you didn't know the millionaires and billionaires in the world. It won't matter that you didn't ride a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or even a Cadillac. The only thing that will matter, did you trust Christ?
Amen.
Did you make Him Lord of your life? That's the only thing that will matter. As the pianist plays something softly this morning, that invitation is to you. Are you saved? Let's stand. Are you trusting Christ? Are you making Him Lord of your life? If you haven't, do it today. And you said, preacher, I've already done that. Well, then maybe you want to become a part of the church. How many know that as born-again believers, we need to come together? We need to worship together. The Bible puts it this way: neglect not to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more to since the day of the Lord coming is drawing nigh. We all want to come together. The time is coming when Christ is going to come back. I know preachers have been saying that for years, but still, it's closer today than it was yesterday. He may come today. We just sung a song about that. What if He come today? What if He come today? Will you be going back with Him? The only sure way to know that is by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If anybody asks you, are you saved this morning? And you are saved, the simple answer is, why are you saved? Because I'm trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That brings salvation to the whosoever will. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You this morning, Father, for Your loving Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the price He paid to guarantee us salvation, to guarantee that we will be with Him one day, to guarantee us that when we leave this life, we're going to be with You and enjoy a life of pleasure, a life of working with You, a life of glorifying You forever and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Surely, surely, wilderness wanders, calling for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Savior, save me, my Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Why should I leave Jesus is pleading
for you? For me, yeah, you're a sinner, and Jesus is mercy, mercy for you. home, come home. Ye all are weary to come home. Hardly a
thing but
is calling,
calling the sinner.
God has given us a time that we all have, a limited time, and we never know when that time will come to an end. Today is the best day. Right now is the best time to give your heart to Jesus, to have him come into your heart and ask him to forgive you for all your sins. And I recommend that you not let this opportunity pass by. There's no guarantee there will be a tomorrow for you or for myself. I hope you're advised to take advice of the song of the writer. While Jesus is calling to you softly and tenderly, to invite him to come into your heart. You can do it right in your in the stand we have. You can come forward and kneel at the altar here. And ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins and to come into your heart. And you can have that perfect peace and full assurance. Let's sing the last verse of the song. You have another opportunity.
Oh, what a wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Come home. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Honestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling the sinner, come home.
We invite you back tonight at 7 p.m. for the evening service. And to be challenged by God's word. We are not sure this time whether Pastor Rice will be here or not, but I invite you to come. And you will hear a message that will challenge your hearts. At this time, let's pray as we dismiss. Father, guide us now to our homes.
Thank you.
Give us your safety and your protection as we travel. And bring us back again to assemble ourselves to worship you, Lord, and to glorify your name. We pray to be with the pastor and his wife and his daughter. That your healing hand will be upon her this day, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will let your will be done at this time. Guide nurses and doctors as you only can. And Father, to you we give the glory, the praise, and thanks for all that you will do, dear God. All praises belong to you, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.